Thank you, Amber, for helping out. I texted yesterday and said, you know, I know it's difficult with, you know, going by the piano rather than Joy here. And she said, no, I'll be happy to help. And so thank you very much for that. It is so nice just to be in the presence of the Lord to worship Him. Amen. A monastery in the English countryside had fallen on hard times, so they decided to establish a business to defray their expenses. They had heard of other monasteries that they knew that had opened bakeries or wineries, but being English, they decided to open a fish and chips restaurant. The establishment soon became very popular, attracting people from all over. One city fella, thinking himself clever, asked when the brothers standing nearby, I suppose you're the fish fryer. Nope, answered the brother levelly, I'm the chipmunk.
What?
Yeah. Monastery, fryer, chipmunk, yeah. Just put it in your pocket, you find it later, you sleep in that, you go, that's so funny. That's fine. No, probably not, but that's fine. Prayer matters. Amen. Prayer changes things. And God is always listening, hearing every prayer that we are offering. Last week we started the series, God Is, and I stated that just as God moved in the past, He's still moving now. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And so we began to talk about that. We talked about that this eternal, self-existent, all-powerful, all-knowing God, and refers Himself as I Am. He's still, I am the healer. He's still, I am the savior of the world. He still is. And so God is awesome. Amen. And we discovered in the series that we'll be discovering in this series that God has not changed over time. He spoke in the past. He still speaks today. And that's what we covered last week. Today we're looking at the fact that just as God called upon people to pray back then, He still calls upon people to pray today. He still hears our prayers. He still wants us to pray. He still continue to call us to pray because He's still hearing prayers. I'm so glad for that. That God, I mean, I can, there's so many prayers that God has answered of my life, and I'm sure of yours as well, that we trust Him and love Him and we know that He's there. So that's my subject today. God is always hearing. And I'm sure you do as well, but I sometimes get invitations in the mail. You know, invitation to a birthday party. Or maybe it's an invitation to a wedding of some friends that are deciding to tie the knot. I love getting those invitations, but I must admit that, you know, most invites now don't come through the mail because of Facebook. I think most people now, they think that's the method of choice to use for invites. I still like the snail mail choice, but that's, you know, I get it. I'm older. But that's what it is. So now my snail mail invitations are usually those that allow me to get further in depth by taking a credit card. You know, and so I just sort of put those away and in the trash can or recycle bin or, you know, the shredder, whatever. But that's usually the great thing. But receiving an invitation means that we were thought about. That we were included in, you know, whatever it might be. And in Scripture, we have received an invitation. There's a recorded invitation for us. And it's an invitation to pray. And I think it is one of the greatest invitations in all of Scripture that God's given to His children. I mean, think about it. It's really amazing that when you think about the God of the universe, He's invited us to talk with Him, to know Him, to grow in our relationship with Him. I mean, that is just awesome that He has given us that kind of invitation. And so He does this by calling us to pray. Hebrews 4:16 tells us this: "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." He's inviting us to call on His name. He's inviting us to do that. Listen to some of these verses. 1 Chronicles 16:8. "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done." Now, other translations, they call upon His name rather than praise, but it'll proclaim. And are you aware that just as in 1 Chronicles we just mentioned, praise and worship are just awesome tools in prayer. I mean, to be able to sit on worship and praise, have that music playing in the background, and just, even if you don't have music, just sort of singing, making a joyful noise, Lord yourself. I mean, it is incredible tools. We sang that song, "That's how I fight my battles," you know, it's just a way to fight the enemy. And so Psalm 18:6 tells us, "In my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From His temple He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears." He hears us. He invites us to just lay our burdens at His feet and just to let Him take care of it. I'll pick Him up and take care of it for us. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." He wants to reveal things to us, and He does that one way through prayer. When we begin to ask Him, you know, Scripture says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the pastor." No, it doesn't. It says, "Let him ask of God." And so we just have to realize that God wants us to come to Him and know Him and love on Him and ask of Him what we need. Acts 2:21 says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You can't be saved without calling upon Him. It is impossible. And so what an invitation is that God has given to us? An invitation to pray. To call on His name, to proclaim His name. And He promises us, if we'll call on Him, if we'll really call on Him, He promises He will hear our prayer. And the great news is that just as it was in Scripture, God is still hearing. Now, sadly for many, prayer seems to be one of the most difficult things to do on a regular basis. You know, I have met so many people that encourage them. I've even encouraged the church, you know, to come and pray. I'm still here at 10 o'clock praying before service every Sunday. I'm doing that. Why? Because I know prayer changes things. I know that prayer does it. So God's always encouraged. I've tried to encourage people to just do that. And so every week I'm here, just I invite the Holy Spirit to come and join us for service. But this prayer thing seems to be one of the areas of life that we seem to struggle with the most. Now, I get it. Oh, sure, we pray over our meals. That's good. We say a prayer every for our children every now and then as they go off to school or whatever. We ask Lord to change our spouse when we need them to change. Okay, so probably a little selfish prayer there, but we get the point. We pray that when we're confronted with an illness or an emergency or health threats, we just everybody seems to pray, even those that don't believe in God. It's like, you say, "Oh, please pray." It's like, yeah, okay. But on a regular basis, on a regular practice of prayer, if we're honest, it's hard. We ask questions like, what should I pray for? I don't know what you need. It's like, whatever. It's like, we say, how long should I pray? pray longer than we do. You know? Scripture does say pray without ceasing, so it, you know, you can pray throughout the day. I'm not talking about just every time, just has to be on your knees or, you know, whatever, but, you know, just pray. You know, we ask, what do I need to be praying for? Here's the, if God already knows what I need, why even ask? Ever heard that? You know, why do we even ask? What does prayer even matter if God already knows? By the way, the answer to that is yes, it does matter. And then we have the fact that our minds tend to wander in prayer. Have you ever noticed that? And it's like, you know, just all of a sudden, boom, it's like we get so bored easily with prayer. I don't know why, but as effective as it is, as meaningful as it is, as important as it is, we tend to get bored with prayer. It just seems like it would be so much easier to get up and do something about what we're praying for instead of just waiting on God and practically praying. How many know what I'm talking about? When you make that decision to pray, it seems like every distraction known to man comes at you. It's like it just seems to find its way to your prayer closet. And you know, and you get ready to pray. You get ready to pray, and then those young kids of yours that have been cool all day long, you, God, I need you. Ah, just a blood-curdling scream just comes from another room. Just all of a sudden, just everywhere, it's like, you were so good. And so we combine the natural difficulty to pray with the fact that the enemy, Satan, will do anything in his power to keep us from praying. And as wonderful as the invitation is to call upon the name of the Lord, sometimes, because of things I just mentioned, that invitation to prayer, it's received like that application to apply for that new credit card. It ends up in the trash. And we don't do anything with it. And so what I hope to share today, what I hope to show you today, is that the beauty of serving God with everything, who still hears our prayers, and with the tendency, the tragedy, rather, of Christians even not taking God up on his offer to pray, I hope to sort of change that perception today. And so in 2 Kings 19 and 20, it's our text we'll be looking at today. It's a text we're going to find two prayers of man that is named Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah prayed, and Hezekiah was the king of Judah at the time, and he was one of the few kings that actually had a heart for God. Actually, you know, wanted to see God's kingdom advance. Actually wanted to see, you know, do God's will. Actually wanted to see, you know, God move in the kingdom. He was one of the few kings that actually had this bent heart towards the things of God. Most of the kings in that day were evil, and as a matter of fact, Scripture says they were outdoing each other in doing bad. Woo! Now that's the kind of leader you want, right? You know, trying to outdo each other in their sin against God. But Hezekiah was different. In fact, listen to how he's described in 2 Kings 18. And before I read this, I want to just make a point, just because I think it's so difficult now. You find the younger generation giving up their hopes on God. But Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king. So here he was, 25 years. Now this is what Scripture says about him. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands of the Lord had given to Moses. And so we'll see why that's so important in just a moment, but I do want you to just just mark for a moment the character of Hezekiah. He was a man of integrity. He was a man who had faith. He trusted in the Lord his God. He followed him wholeheartedly. Now, that doesn't mean he was perfect, but his heart was inclined to the Lord. King David wasn't perfect either. I mean, after all, he did have an affair with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, so I mean, well, he was accessory to murder, if you will. And yet he, Scripture says, was a man after God's own heart. So it's God's not after perfection, but he's after people that are inclined to just do what he wants them to do. And so this first prayer of Hezekiah, we'll read in chapter 19. It has to do with a natural crisis. The king of Assyria decides to come up against Jerusalem. Hezekiah is worried. The second prayer is about his physical health. It's a crisis that Hezekiah is facing. And I believe we can learn something from both these prayers. So 2 Kings, chapter 19, verses 14 through 20 says this. This is the first prayer. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim. You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hands, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. That is prayer number one. His nation is in crisis. No wonder Scripture tells us that if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, then he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. Here's the second. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover. Now that's a great prophetic word. Thank you, Isaiah. Thanks for telling my future. Was hoping it would be different. But he goes on to say, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. Now that is a great prophetic word. Amen? That's just, woo, I love that. And so in both texts, Hezekiah prayed. And in both cases, God responded to his prayer. Let's talk about I'll talk about healthy prayer. I think there's some prayer that's not quite so healthy. We'll talk about some of that as well, but let's talk about healthy prayer. What does healthy prayer consist of? What does it look like? And I'll get into specifics, ingredients of healthy prayer at the end of my message that are in time together, and I'm purposely waiting and saving those specifics to the end because I don't want us to get the idea that if we approach God this way, in this fashion, with these things in line, you know, do step A, B, C, and D, then God is, you know, going to listen, and that's all that, you know, that's the only way that God hears our prayers. That's not the case. So I don't want to even try to get you that idea. So I don't want you to think that He's obligated to respond just the way we want Him to, you know, when we pray this certain way. So I'm leaving those at the very end just to let them know, because, you know, prayer, let me tell you what prayer is not. It's not some magical chant that we, you know, say before this Holy Father and to get God's attention in His ear. It's not like that at all. It's, you know, God's not like a genie. You just don't, you know, take Him and find a lamp and rub it and say, "Give me my three wishes." It's he's not that way. It's not like rubbing that lamp. And so before we get into certain aspects of prayer, or the ingredients, if you will, of healthy prayer, we need to understand and realize prayer at its most basic form is simply about our relationship with God. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. And what we learn from Hezekiah is that healthy prayer includes a healthy posture. Now, I'm not talking about just the posture that you have, the physical posture you have when you pray, although there are aspects of that that are good. The Bible actually, you know, lays out five ways we can posture ourselves physically when we pray: sitting, kneeling, standing, laying prostrate on the floor, with our face toward the ground, and praying with our hands lifted high. I mean, those are five ways that the Scripture tells about how to posture ourselves physically when we pray. Mark Batterson says, "Physical posture is an important part of prayer. It's like prayer within a prayer. Posture is to prayer as tone is to communication. If words are what we say, then posture is how we say it. Physical posture, postures help posture our hearts and minds." And that's what I want to talk about, how we posture our heart when we go before the Lord. That's what I want to talk about, the posture of our heart. And if physical posture helps you posture your heart correctly, if physical posture helps you posture, don't say that three times fast, posture your heart correctly, then please do so. Amen? And so when confronted with being assaulted by and overthrown by the Assyrian army, the enemy, and confronted with his own mortality, did you notice how Hezekiah responds in both these situations? In case you missed it, let's go ahead and look back at it one more time. 2 Kings 19:14. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Now I can almost imagine Hezekiah sees this message that they're coming, that the enemy's on the way, and I can see him just sort of going before the Lord in the posture, and he spreads it out on the floor. He's read that message. He sort of looks. He just gets down. He says, "God, I know what to do. I remember you. I remember you taking care of Joshua when he had to go against Jericho. I remember how you took care of Moses when he had the sea in front and the enemy in back. And God, right now I need you. The Assyrians, they're coming. The Assyrians are after, and I just don't know what to do. I need you." And so that was his posture, that first prayer. And then the second says, 2 Kings 22:3, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, Lord, how I walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He just went before the wall. He just
stood before the wall with his face planted against the wall and said, "Father, I need you. I'm dying. I don't know what to do. I'm dying." And he wept bitterly before the Lord. Both times, Hezekiah's posture was one of humility and brokenness. And God is attracted like a magnet to those who are humble and broken. Psalm 34, 17, 18 tells us this. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. It's a spiritual law. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And in both these situations, both these passages, Hezekiah knew his place and knew it well. He was the king. But he knew there was somebody greater than him. The one that was, that knit him together in his mother's womb. He knew that that was greater than he was. And so in the situation, he's like, "I don't know what it is, God. I don't know how to handle it. I just need your help." Second Kings 19:15, and Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, "Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth." And so in this prayer, he acknowledges the sovereign reign of God. He understands that there is someone better than him, greater than him. And so Hezekiah understands his place, and this is where all healthy prayer begins. It starts with us understanding this simple fact. We are not God. You might not think they are. I got news for them. They ain't. Not proper English. Ain't really concerned. Okay, no, whatever. We're not God. And that takes humility. That takes an element of brokenness and to understand and embrace that. If you want to know some of the key reasons God's perhaps not responding to our prayers, let me just pause for a moment and let me give you a few. Because I think it's important we understand sometimes, maybe you've never been there, but I've been in wilderness experience where I'm just wondering where God's at. You pray and you're like, "Oh, you don't feel nothing." That's where faith comes in. You walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings. It's like just, "I know you're God. I know what you know is best." And so even when you're not sensing him right then, he's still there because he said he'll never leave us or forsake us. But there are some reasons sometimes that just things in life hinder God answering or responding to our prayer. And I believe one of the greatest reasons, one of the biggest reasons that we have prayer hindered is because of pride. Pride will lead to a dropped call every single time. I don't know if there's nothing more frustrating than you're on your cell phone and you're talking to somebody, you're driving down the road, and then you hit a dead spot and you lose that call. That dropped call is like, in our cottage, we don't have cell phone service. Sometimes you can text, maybe, because it uses data or whatever. And as a matter of fact, last time I went to college, it said, "Welcome to Canada," and we weren't anywhere near Canada. It's like, across the lake, across Lake Huron. So it's like, there's a luff. And so, we sometimes will go down the library, we borrow their Wi-Fi, and so we can, chat back and forth and, do text and stuff like that or whatever. And so Joy actually video texted me, video conference messenger, Friday night, just from the library, sitting in the car, and we're talking, because that's all we communicate, because we have no service. So at our cottage, what we have to do is we sort of drive down the road until we get a couple bars. Then we make our phone call, but you got to make sure you park, because if you drive too much further, you just may not have service, and you drop. And there's nothing more frustrating than a dropped call, but pride in prayer will be that dropped call. It will be that way. Even though there's nothing more frustrating, it's that way, and that's what prayer does. It causes a dropped call. It's a dead spot between you and God. Let's just take a look at a few more. I think pride's a big one. I think all of these really are pride related, just maybe not the same, you know, pride. And we'll talk about that in a few moments, but I think they're all sort of in that same category. The first one is this, unbelief. And this can be in a few different areas. Not believing that God's even real, you know, that can sometimes hinder our prayers. Imagine that. Psalm 10:4 says, "In his pride the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts there is no room for God." When you have that type of mentality and you don't believe there is a God, then why would you even pray? Another area is not believing that God can, will, or desires to even answer your prayer. But James 1:6 tells us, 6-8 tells us, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." When we pray, we must believe, knowing that God hears our prayers, knowing that God's willing to do it, knowing that God has received it and will be in the midst to help you through it. God desires, He desires to respond to our prayers. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Wow. Now there's some things that we've got to pray according to God's will. I mean, you know, selfish prayers are another problem. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but selfish prayers are not according to God's will. Amen? And that's my next point too, is why our prayers hinder is because of selfishness. What we're asking for is not for God's glory or for His will to be done, but it's instead asking the Lord for something that has the wrong motives or reasons that were there. James 4:3 tells us, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You may spend what you get on your pleasures." We're not praying as Jesus did, "Let your will be done, not mine." We're not praying, "Your kingdom come." We're not praying, you know, "On earth as in heaven, let your will be done, not mine." I mean, that's not how we're praying. Sometimes our prayer is not answered, responded to, because self is at the core of the prayer. I want to impress my family. I want to impress my church. I want to impress my family and friends. I want to impress anybody else. And so I want to just use what you bless me with so I can buy my own pleasurable things. I don't want to invent your kingdom necessarily, just invent mine. And so sometimes our prayers are hindered because of that type of mentality. And yet another reason why some of our prayers are hindered is because we are living in disobedience. And I'm not talking about the missteps that we have, the times that you know we miss God telling us to do something. I'm talking about that type of, you know, we've all missed it from time to time, amen? But I'm talking about not acknowledging at all how God has called us to live. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God."
with your God. That's what he requires.
Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's what he looks for, seeking first his kingdom. But what does the Bible say about this whole idea of disobedience as it pertains to prayer? Isaiah 59:1-2 says this, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Choosing to live a life, a willful, habitual sin life, will cause a separation, will cause us to have dropped calls with God in prayer. Just because there's an invitation to call upon Jesus doesn't mean that we can do what we want, when we want, how we want. Amen? That's just rubbing the side of the lamp like a genie saying, Lord, I need you. That's not what he wants. He wants us to live as sons and daughters of God. Why? So we can reflect his glory, so that other people might see him through us and want to know him differently. One more reason God may not respond to our prayers like we want him to is because we have fractured relationships. Matthew 5:23-24 says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, that and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Is that an amen or no me? Did you really have to include that verse? I mean, could have just not had that right. Listen, it's so important that, you know, when you have that relationship, when it's hindered, your prayers, according to Scripture, are hindered. And every one of these unbelief, selfishness, disobedience, and frustration are all from a pride. I don't want to restore the relationship because I was right and they were wrong. Whatever. It's pride at its core. And so would you be honest just for a moment? The I am is still I am. And he's still hearing prayers. And if you sense God is distant, could it be that one of those is the reason? Listen, I'm by no means saying that those are the only reasons why. Sometimes the enemy tries to stop the answer. Daniel 10:12-13 says this, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael and the chief princes came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. In other words, the enemy tried to distract me from getting there, and it took me a while to receive it. But I was on my way. I heard you from the very first moment you prayed. I heard it. So sometimes the enemy is just trying to stop you from hearing the answer to your prayer. Why? Because if he can get you discouraged, if he can get you to not respond, if he can get you to stop praying, he knows you'll never get your answer. But we do need to let the Holy Spirit search our hearts. Something you're asking God to do, but deep inside, doubt whether or not he can even do it. Holy Spirit, show me.
Maybe just breathe a prayer right now and let the Father of the, let it be like the father of the boy that in Unclean Spirit, Mark chapter 9, he approaches Jesus and he asks him to heal his son, and Jesus says, all things are possible to them that believe. And he says, I believe, help my unbelief. Or maybe you need to pray and ask God to give you a desire for his will over your will. And ask him to search your motives and see if it's the glory of God or the glory of self. Or maybe it's just confession of the sin that we've been dealing with, we need to deal with, and God's not responding, and you know it's because there's some sin in your life that is just cherishing, you're holding on to, you're clinging to. You're loving more than God's desire for your life. And you need God's power and anointing to just deliver and set you free and let go of that today. Or maybe it's a fresh relationship. There's a distance between you and your parents or your child and you're near your spouse and whatever. And just make it right. Listen, God is still in the business of hearing prayers. We have to come to Him with a healthy posture that is humble, and a heart that's humble before Him. God is not looking for perfection. You're already perfect in Christ. He's simply looking for one who displays a continual posture of humility and brokenness. Hezekiah was by no means perfect. Just keep reading 2 Kings 20. You'll see that. He makes a huge mistake, but just recall what was said about his character. This is who he was on the inside. 2 Kings 18, 5 and 7. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commandments that the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him because of how he lived, humble before God. God was with him. And because he knew God was with him, he trusted in him. And this leads me to my second lesson we can learn from Hezekiah's prayer. And that is this. He had the correct perspective. In his prayer, he acknowledges the sovereign rule and reign of God. And he trusted the Lord to answer his prayer. And this is the key. He trusted the Lord to answer his prayer however the Lord seemed fit. Sometimes we just hope the Lord heals our way, answers the prayer our way, does things our way, but don't you know that his ways aren't our ways? His thoughts, he's so much better than what we think he is. He's a whole lot better than what we think we are. All the time. So, if you go back to the situations that he got faced, the nation of Assyria was coming against him, and the city of Jerusalem. And so Hezekiah goes to God and asks him to intervene. We'll see in just a moment that this key ingredient of prayer was we ask of God. That's a key ingredient. You got to ask. You have not because you ask not. I'll never forget. When before I was pastoring, I was somewhere in the midst of transition, I guess. And so I was at our church, at our home, and I was doing messages at my house with my family. And it was funny because Kyle was just going to a trip to Colorado, I think it was. And I just got done preaching a message, and I said in the message something along the lines of, you know, if you can live with the consequences, why ask the questions? And so, in other words, you know, if I ask, well, that was kind of weird. You know, if I ask Curtis for $1 million, most of what will happen is I don't have it. I'd help if I could, but I can't. Does that make sense? I'm probably not going to lose a friend over that situation. I can lose a friend over asking. And so if all I can do, so most will do is tell me no. Right? So Kyle goes off to the Kyle goes off to Colorado, and I guess, you know, the bank he was with at the time, they have this thing that it's called your account's been flagged red. And what that means is you had too many transfers in a week or whatever. So, you know, what Kyle was doing was he transferred money like every day when he needed. 3 or 4 times a day, he'd say, I put another transfer from, you know, savings to checking, this $50, transfer from savings to checking, this $100, whatever, just kept that. So he comes back, he had $838 in fines and penalties from the bank. Well, I happened to know the bank manager at that branch, and so I told Kyle, go talk to her. You know, most she'll say is no. We just talked about that. Remember, we just talked about that. Nope, I'm fine. I'll just pay it. It's my fault. Dude. So I went to the bank the next day, and I talked to her. And so she gets in there. Okay, well, there's $200 refunded. I'll refund over the next 4 days. I can only do $200 a day. So she, over the next 4 days, got all Kyle's money back into his account. And I went to her and says, Kyle, I says, I love you, man. If you don't want the money, I'll take it. I got it back for you. He says, no, I'll keep it, Dad.
Surprise.
You know, but we got to ask. We got to take the time to get on our face and ask God. So then Hezekiah, at 39 years of age, hears he's going to die. He asks Lord to intervene. And in both cases, he demonstrates his trust in God. He had no idea how God would move on the nation's behalf. An angel going through the enemy's camp and killing 185,000 people. I doubt Hezekiah had God answering prayer that way. I just don't think he had in mind that way. And what about when God answers Hezekiah's prayer regarding his death sentence? God gives him 15 more years. Now, that's great. But if I'm Hezekiah, I'm thinking, that's only 54, 55 years old. I think I could, can you do a little more? You know, it's like, that little selfish prayer in there, you know? It's like, but Hezekiah's like, you know, he's like, doesn't give any inclination at all when you read it of him doubting, debating, being discouraged by the answer God gives. Never. Why? He trusted in the Lord, that the Lord knew what's best. And because of a deep-seated trust in God the Father, he could pray with an honest heart. Not my will, but yours be done. Do you have that kind of deep-seated trust in the Lord? What if his response is no? Do you have a perspective that God is sovereign and in control and knows best? God operates on a different level than we do. His ways are not our ways. His timing is not our timing. Isaiah 55:8-9 says this, for my thoughts, not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's altogether different from us. Work in his plan and through us, and healthy prayer includes a correct posture and a right perspective. Confession time. It's a search our hearts time. And I love what John tells us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Again, this is so good for us to go through, because when we reflect on our life, decisions we've made, our motives in our heart, and not the not-so-faithful paths we have taken, we see we have not arrived. At the same time, we meet the incredible grace and love and mercy of God. In Hezekiah's prayer for health, if you noticed, we don't have the specifics behind what he prayed for. I believe he was so broken he didn't know what to pray for. I just believe you're so just, I'm dying. The Bible says he turned to the wall and wept bitterly. And I believe that because God saw his heart, he answered the prayer of his heart. That's just how good God is. Sometimes we are broken by our circumstances. We don't even know what to pray for, how to pray. And you know what the Bible says? Romans chapter 8, verses 26, 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through our wordless groans, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That's like my prayer language. When I don't know what to pray for, the Spirit just takes over. Ask God. But why is it we ask everybody else before we ask God? You know, we have health issues and like, oh, let's go to the doctor really quick, and then we forget doctor, physician, Jesus. You know? Junior, come up for a second. Yeah, come on up, please. You sent me a lot of headaches. Okay. Jesus says enough's enough. You've been wondering that why the doctors can't figure out, getting mad at them even in the process, haven't you? Wondering why. So Jesus says enough's enough. So I'm gonna pray with you. Father, right now, we come with Randy. Lord, you see this man's heart. He has a heart for you, has a heart for the kingdom, has a heart for, you know, wanting to see your kingdom prosper. And so, Father, right now, just like Hezekiah, we're not asking for more years. We're asking for the headaches to stop right now in Jesus' name. Every migraine must stop. Every migraine must be settled down right now. He can walk in freedom with no pain, with no side effects right now. Father, they never shall return in Jesus' name. We give you all honor. We thank you for hearing our prayer. You always hear our prayer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's done. We thank you for it, Father. We believe it is done. Randy, stand up for me a second. Yeah. I was praying this week. See, I do that too. I want to make sure I just, you know, I want to come into prayer before I come to church. I want to invite the Holy Spirit. And when I was praying, do you know what your wolf, you know what your name means? It means shield and wolf. And so wolf, when it goes after its prey, it actually usually tries to attack the neck. That's what kills its prey, whether it be a moose or whatever. It can be a bigger animal than what it is. You know, still go after its prey and do that. And so we're saying that what he has for you is that he's going to allow you to attack the kingdom. He's going to start to give you so much a hunger for his word that it's going to be difficult to go to bed at night without reading. I'm not saying don't read it now. Don't take that in there. I'm just he's going to increase that want to. He's going to increase that that want to just get more because he knows that you're going to have some battles coming up that he says you'll need to know. But he says, I'm going to be your shield in the process of your battle. But you're going to start to get a desire, a hunger to go after the things of God more and more. And as you do that, you're going to see him bless you more and more. Because he's like Hezekiah, when you go before him and you spread the temple and say, Lord, I need your help, he's going to say, I'm going to be there for you. Amen? See, we just have to realize that God is so good. We just have to ask. Ask for God what's on your heart. Ask him to move in whatever situation you're facing. Ask him to meet the needs of your loved ones. Ask. Let me close with this. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. I love this. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Junior, that was according to his will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for. So, Father, today we come to you. And I thank you for hearing our prayers. I thank you for answering our prayers. I know all your promises are yes and amen. So, Father, I pray for each one of us, not just for Randy, God, for each one of us, just put a new hunger for prayer in our lives. Fresh hunger to know you more better, to know you better, to run after the things of you. Bless your people, God, mightily. Show us, God, and move in a mighty way. Teach us of your ways, God. We humbly come before you, asking you to just bless so that we can see your kingdom advanced in fresh ways, in new ways. And Lord, I give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In Jesus' name, and the church said. Join us next week for Lookout.